Greetings everyone, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And once again, we are considering the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, we want to consider two parables that pertain to treasure. Now, what is something that you treasure? What one person treasures will differ from what another person treasures. And this is something that we see also true in the world, when there are incidents whereby a person, right, for all their life, right, they had this vase that was by their door, and this vase was used to put umbrellas. Right, every day of the year, the umbrellas are there in this vase. And then all of a sudden, a person comes by the house and tells the person, "Hey, do you know that that vase is actually worth a lot?" And this is a true story, apparently. I saw someone talking about this, right? Whereby they said, "Oh, this vase is actually a very, very special vase. It's worth a lot of money." Right? But you see, to the person, did the person see the value of the vase before that? Right? No, not at all. This is just a vase decoration to put umbrella. Right? But then now, this person realizes that, "Oh, this is such a valuable vase. Right? This is something that costs much more than what she supposed it initially costs." Right? And so the vase didn't change. Right? The vase is still the same vase. But what made it, at one point in time, not valuable to the woman, but at the other point in time, now suddenly something so valuable. "Oh, cannot, better not put umbrella. Later, you put the umbrella inside, it dents it, it cracks it. Oh, it's going to be very painful in the heart." Right? So the perception of the valuableness of that item changed based on the understanding of the woman, right, concerning this vase. And so that's what we understand about things that are treasurable or things that we do treasure. Right, that treasure, how do you tell what you treasure? Well, it's by how much money you're willing to spend to get this thing, how much time you're willing to put in, how much effort you're willing to put in, shows how treasurable, how valuable this treasure is to you. And the Lord Jesus Christ will use the idea of treasure, right, to help us to understand what it's like for a person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Right, just a side note before we go further, know that these two parables that we are considering, they are two separate parables. And these two parables concern the kingdom of heaven. These are not parables on economics. Okay? This is not telling you to sell everything that you have and go and invest in a field, go and invest in a great pearl, right? Pearl of great price. No, this is not the point of the parable. Right? This parable is only to teach us what it means when a person now comes to Christ, when a person enters into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, these are parables of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and these two parables, on the surface, right, they look very similar. Right, because both seem to speak of a similar idea. Right, but at the same time, though there are many similarities between these two parables, we must understand that these two parables are different. Right, and we will highlight the similarities and the differences and compare and contrast them. And what we primarily want to learn today from these two parables is how the true treasure that we must have, right, is the treasure of the salvation, the treasure of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's what we will consider from these two parables today. So first, when we look at verses 44 and 45, what the first thing that we want to consider concerning this treasure of the gospel, this treasure of salvation, is that the nature of this treasure is very important for us to know. And so what is the nature of this treasure? Well, the Bible tells us in the first parable in verse 44, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Right, so in the first parable, what we find here is that the treasure is that which was found in the field. Now, some commentators speculate that, you know, these are not so much treasures in terms of gold that is buried in the field, right, or precious stones that are buried in the field. But some commentators argue and say that, you know, what is found in the field was a mine. And so in other words, there was treasure on this field, right, in the sense that all these precious metals or precious stones can be mined from this field. Right? And that is why when this person, he found it, oh, this is a very valuable piece of land now. Right? So whether it is a mine that he had found, or whether it is really treasure, that gold and silver that was hidden in the field, well, the Bible doesn't say. Right? But the point that the Bible does say is that it is a treasure. And what is a treasure? Treasure is something that is valuable. Treasure is something that costs money. Right? And in fact, this treasure is that which has great value. And so that is the first parable. That's what we see concerning the nature, the valuableness of this treasure in the first parable. Right? That it is called treasure. It is called something that is very precious. It's something that is of high value, and something that is of great price. Right, so that's the first parable. Now in the second parable, we find something similar. And because in the second parable, what was the thing that was of great value? The Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so the Bible talks about the second parable being that the man was looking for a pearl, a goodly pearl. And so this pearl was that which was valuable. And in fact, when he found that one pearl, the pearl of great price, right, that is the most valuable pearl that he had found, right, and that was how valuable this treasure was in the second parable. And when the Bible here talks about the pearl of great price, right, the word great price literally means to be of great honor. Right? And the idea here is that it is very valuable. Right? It has a great value on this pearl. Right? In fact, this pearl, right, today, when we talk about pearls, right, there are mainly two kinds of pearls. Right? The pearls today, they are natural pearls, and there are man-made pearls. And so for man-made pearls, what they would do is that, you know how pearls are made, right? And pearls are made because of impurities that are introduced in the clam. And when the impurity is introduced in the clam, having a defense mechanism, right, seeks to cover up, destroy, or protect itself from this impurity. And so it will put layer upon layer upon layer, right, of this material, right, around this impurity. And that's what becomes the pearl. Okay, and so this happens naturally in the sea, right, in the ocean, where the clams will do that, right, to protect itself from impurities that will inevitably come in, right, and then they will form pearls. Right, but now, right, because what we do today, right, in terms of man-made pearls is that they will introduce the impurity. Right, so it's not naturally occurring, right, but they have the same species of clams, they introduce the impurity, and then the clam does its job, and then you get the pearl. Okay, so that's how pearls are made, and in those days, these would be natural pearls. And of course, I don't need to tell you which one is more expensive. Right? It's the natural pearls that are more expensive, because they are more rare. And in those days, what they would have to do is that these pearls were not found locally in Israel. Right? They had to be imported, and they were imported from other regions, right, like the Red Sea, or the Persian Gulf, or even as far as the Indian Ocean, right, all these regions where these pearls would grow, right, and what is required to harvest these pearls is that the free divers, right, they will have to dive down to the ocean depths to collect these clams and to harvest the pearls. Right, so it is a very dangerous job, right? In those days, no oxygen tank, right? You have to go down free, right, without any breathing aids. Just to die for these pearls, right, and then to obtain them. And so you can understand how expensive these pearls will be. Right, we can understand in our context also how expensive pearls are, right, how much more so in those days. And then furthermore, these pearls had to be imported into Israel. Right, so you can see how expensive these pearls will be. And in the context here, the pearls can be either, right, the pearls that we understand, which I've explained to you, right, the pinkish, whitish pearls, right, they are very brilliant, or some commentators also say that it refers to a red kind of a coral. So it can be a reddish stone as well. Okay, so the point here is that these pearls are symbols of wealth, right, of wisdom, of beauty. Right, that is the symbolism of these pearls. Right? Pearls are of great value, right? Great price. And so when we think about how valuable these two treasures are, the treasure hid in the field and the pearl of great price, and what we must understand is that these two treasures both symbolize and signify what the gospel is. And because what is the gospel? What is the value of the gospel? The value of the gospel is infinite. It is utterly and perfectly valuable. And there's nothing in this world that man can do on his own to obtain gospel, right, to obtain the gospel. The gospel has to be given to us by God, worked out by the Lord Jesus Christ, convicted by the Holy Spirit. And that is the immense price of the gospel. No way can any man on their own obtain it. It cannot be bought by money. No amount of money in this world can give you that gospel. It is valuable because it brings reconciliation between you and God. It is valuable because it brings the forgiveness of sins. It is valuable because it gives you the privilege of having a relationship with God. All of these things cannot be purchased with anything on this world, any money on this earth. And that is how valuable the gospel is. The gospel is that valuable treasure. That the gospel is that valuable pearl of great price. In all its glory, in all its beauty, of how the gospel of salvation is that which can save a sinner, is that which can transform a sinner into a saint, is that which can reconcile an enemy of God to become his child. Is that not an amazing thought? Is that not the amazing and valuable gospel? And so that is what the Lord Jesus Christ likened the gospel to. And so these treasures are valuable. And that's the first aspect of the nature of the treasure, right? That it is valuable. Now we see another aspect of the nature of the treasure, right, described for us in verse 44, which is that the treasure is hidden. In the account, in the first parable in verse 44, the Bible tells us that the man, he found the gospel, right, or rather, to put it in the parable terms, he found the treasure hidden in the field. And what is the meaning of this? What is the significance when the treasure is hid in the field? And on the outside, the field just looks like any other field. Right? The field is unassuming. Right? You wouldn't know that there is treasure inside this field, right, unless you go and dig it and find it. Right? But on the outside, the field looks like any other field. There is no difference between this field and that field, and people walk past daily without seeing the true value of the field, right, because they do not see the treasure. And this is really the picture of the gospel, right, that people do not see the true value of Christ and of the gospel. Right, they do not see the true value of salvation. They do not see the true value of what the scripture tells us of how we can be reconciled to God. They don't care. They just walk by. Right, to them, it is no different than any other religion. Right, no different than other religions that teach you to do good. Christianity also teaches you to do good. Right, that is the world's view of Christianity, of the gospel. Right, that as long as it works for you, okay, it's good for you, right? But it's not for me. Right? Other people, other religions, right? They may serve them better, right? Then they can go for other religions, right? It doesn't matter. And that is how the world views the gospel. Do you realize that? That the gospel, the true value, the true weight and the majesty of the gospel is not acknowledged, is not seen by the world. It is hidden, as it were, in the few. And so that is how the world perceives the gospel. They do not see the true spiritual value of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is for the first parable, describing one phenomena that we see in the world today. And the second phenomenon that we see in the world today is what is described for us by the second parable. And in this second parable, the Bible says that this pearl of great price, it was hidden in the sense that it was not yet discovered. Right, the pearl of great price was there, right? It's just there in the marketplace, right, waiting to be found. Right, but for this man, he only knew of it when he saw it. Right, it was not yet known to the man at one point in time, and then it was on display for all to see, but was hidden from this man in the sense that he had not yet found it. Right, and eventually, as he was searching, he found it. And so this is also a picture of how the world views the gospel. Or how those who have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ views the gospel. Because to some, they may not know of Christianity at all. Right? So in the first incident, right, we are talking about the people who already know about Christianity. Right? They know what Christianity is, they know about Christians, they know about the gospel, right? And then they just walk by. Right? They don't see the true value of the gospel. Right? That's one kind of unbeliever that we see in the world today. Those who do not know, those who know about Christianity but yet do not believe. Right? There is another kind of unbeliever that we see in the world today. And that is those who do not even know about the gospel. Right? Those who do not even know about Christianity. And I'm sure that you have also met some, right? Especially for those who are more advanced in age, right, in Singapore. And when we go for our evangelism, usually most people have heard of Christianity, most people have heard of the gospel, I think especially more so in the last 10-15 years. But earlier on, in maybe about 15 years ago, when you go to evangelism, right, and then you speak to the old folks, and many of them have not heard of Christianity before. Or maybe they heard about Christian, they know about Jesus, but then they don't know what the gospel is about. And so because they don't know what the gospel is about, they cannot see the true value of the gospel. It's hidden from them in that sense. And that is what the second parable tells us of the phenomena that we see in the world today. Right, that there are some who do not know the true value of the gospel because they have not heard of it before. They have not yet discovered the gospel. The pearl of great price is not yet known to them. And so that is the second phenomenon that we see in the world today. But in both, regardless, what you realize is that both fail to see the true value of the gospel. The true spiritual value, the value of the gospel that can save us from our sins. The eternal value of the gospel. And so that is the nature of the treasure. That is valuable, but that it is hidden. But though it is hidden, one thing that we must understand of this treasure is that as much as it is hidden, it is also available for all. Right? Because when we look at the first parable again, this field has always been there. Right? This field with the treasure in it, right, is still there. Likewise also for the pearl of great price. Right? The pearl of great price, the merchants were selling it. Right? All these things were on the market. Right? On the market means that it is for sale. And so it was always there. Right? It was available for all. It is whether you will see the valuable, the treasure, how valuable it is or not, right, that will cause you to purchase it or not purchase it. And what this tells us is that this field and this pearl of great price was not some secret, you know, high value item that was hidden away that no one can buy. Right, that's what, you know, some people talk about, you know, about the Rolex watches, right? You know, in the Rolex watches, when you go to the boutique, right, they will always tell you, oh, all these things are not for sale, out of stock, out of stock. But actually, they tell you that, you know why? so that you'll buy the cheapest one, and then so that they can sell you the next one, and then the more expensive one, and then maybe when you buy enough, okay, I take out the special one, then you can buy this one. Okay, so that's what they do. Right? Why? Because, oh, exclusivity. I cannot just sell you. Even if you have money, I also don't want to sell you. Right? That's what people do in the world, right? To boost the value of their items, right? To show exclusivity. Right? But the gospel is not like that. The pearl of great price is not like that. The treasure in the field is not like that. It is on the market. If you want to buy it, you can buy it. Right? You can get it. It is available for all. And that is the nature of the gospel as well. The gospel is freely given for all. Whosoever will come, he may come and he may taste of the gospel. Right? But the question is, do you see the value of it and will you come? And for those, for these two individuals, they saw the true value of it, and then they purchased the field, they purchased the pearl of great price. And then more of that we will talk about subsequently, but understand the nature of the treasure. And that is available. And it's not hidden from view. Next, the treasure is also singular. And what do we mean by the treasure is singular? There was only one field with hidden treasure. There was only one pearl of great price. Now, this is more emphasized in the second parable. In the second parable, if you see in verse 46, who, when he had found one pearl of great price. It was not multiple pearls, it was just one. And this one pearl that was of great price. And what does this tell us about the gospel? That the gospel is singular. There is only one way in which we can be reconciled to God. There is only one way of salvation. There is only one means by which we can be saved from our sins. And that is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one treasured gospel can bring salvation. Not multiple ways. Not multiple fields. Not multiple pearls. It was just that one great pearl that he bought. The only way. And that is the nature of the treasure. It is singular. Right? There is only one way, one treasure that when we receive it, will bring us greatest benefit. And that is the treasure of the gospel. And so do you see the gospel as valuable? That is the question. Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ as valuable? As we sung just now, right? Jesus is all the world to me. Is Jesus really all the world to you? Can you say with Christ that you can take all these things, but take the world, but give me Jesus? Is Jesus that valuable to you? Or are there other things in your life that are more valuable to you than the Lord Jesus Christ? And if that is so, you do not see the true treasure of the gospel. Because what else can there be in this world that will be more valuable than this? Than God becoming man to save you from your sins? Is there anything more valuable to you in your soul than the gospel? If you claim to have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ already, you are claiming that you have this treasure, you have this pearl of great price, you have this treasure in the field, then do you really treasure it? Do you really see its value? Because if you see its value, you will live your life in light of the gospel. And so this is what the Bible tells us about the nature of the treasure. But how did these two individuals come to see the value of the gospel? And that's the second thing that we want to consider. How did they encounter the treasure? In the first parable, right now, this is where the difference lies between these two parables. Right, the main difference lies in how these two individuals encountered this treasure. In the first instance, the Bible tells us that the man, he chanced upon the treasure. In verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And so in the case of the first person, he was not overtly, right, going out searching for treasures in people's fields, and then suddenly, I finally found it. Right? No, the sense here is more of how he had chanced upon it. And he just happened to find it. He happened to find this treasure in the field, right, and then he bought the field. And this is one way in which, A person comes to Christ. A person may come to Christ whereby he may not be actively searching. He may not be actively seeking. He is not looking for ways in which he can solve his sin problem or to assure him of what will happen after his death. He is not actively searching for answers. But then, by and by, someone comes along and tells him the gospel, and he's convicted of it. He sees the true value and the true treasure of the gospel. Right, and that is what the Bible here is picturing for us. This man, he was not searching for a few, but alas, he came across this few with hidden treasure. Like how a person who may not be actively seeking for salvation, but the gospel now is shed to him, and he sees the value of the gospel. He found the treasure. And of course, we know that this is not just a chance encounter that a person has with the gospel, but it is all in the sovereignty of God. Right? That God is sovereign to lead such a person to the gospel. And so that is the first instance. A person who chances upon or who finds the gospel, not because he was actively searching, but you can say the Lord found him. Right? Now in the second instance, the second parable is slightly different. You see the difference. Because in the second parable, the man was actively searching for goodly pearls. Right? That's what verse 45 tells us. In other words, he was out there looking, going from merchant to merchant, looking all around, trying to find goodly pearls. Right? Expensive pearls, beautiful pearls. And so this describes a person who is seeking for answers. And you would know such people in your life, whereby a person who maybe had, because of some calamity that had befallen him, or maybe because he's simply thinking more about what happens after death, thinking about his life, thinking about his purpose of life, that he begins having all these questions. And he begins searching for the meaning of life. Why am I here? What am I put on earth to do? And as he searches and he searches, he sees one pearl after the other pearl, he finds no answer. And finally, when he comes across the gospel, it is exactly what he was looking for. It has all the answers. It answers all his questions, all that he was seeking for, all his questions about life, all his questions about death and what comes after the death, what comes after death, all his questions about the sufferings in this world. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was able to satisfy his seeking. And so this is the second description of a person who comes to faith. A person who is actively seeking, looking for answers. And by he comes across the very thing he was seeking for, the gospel. So regardless of the first instance or the second instance, you may have heard of the gospel in different ways, just like in these two instances. And maybe for some, there was not active seeking on your part. But as you grew up, as your parents shared with you the gospel, you came across the gospel, and alas, you saw the value of the gospel, and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's one way in which you come to salvation. In another instance, right, perhaps you were seeking, you were finding out answers. Yes, you may have been told the gospel since young, but in your heart you were not certain, and you had to seek, and you had to be honest with your own heart. And then when you come across the gospel again and you realize that, yes, this is true. And this is all that will satisfy my soul and my questions and my searching and my longings. The Bible is the answer. And that's how you are saved. And so, regardless of which way, do you realize that the most important thing is that both saw the true value of the treasure. And that is what we must understand. That as much as these two people encountered their treasures differently, they both saw the true value of their treasure. So much so that this man, he would seek after it. And the idea of seeking here is seek until he finds it. And of course, ultimately he found it. And so he was seeking and seeking and seeking, and he finally found it. And, you know, very sadly, for us as believers, or as professing believers, when we look at an unbeliever who seeks and seeks and seeks, and he finally finds the gospel, and his whole life is transformed, and he is now fully devoted to the Lord and to the Bible and to the study of it. And then we turn to this man and say, wow, you see, new Christian zeal. Huh? But do you realize that that's supposed to be all of us? That's supposed to be how treasured and how valued we see the Word of God and the Gospel. But we just chuck it aside and we say, oh, this is because he's a new believer, right? He's a new believer, so zealous, so zealous. But for us old-time believers, yeah, I already heard this before. Yeah, I know about that. Yeah, you mean, oh, is this the first time you're finding out about this? Oh, I already learned that many years ago. And that's our heart's attitude. There's no more zeal, there's no more love, there's no more understanding of the treasure of the Word of God and of the Gospel. And it's sad, isn't it? But that shouldn't be the case. We should be just like this man. And just like a person who is in a desert, who is thirsty, who is longing, who is searching and finding water, and when he finally comes across water, do you think he will waste water? No, he will not. Do you think he will use water for any menial thing other than to drink it because he is thirsty? Of course not, because he sees the value of water. He will not waste it away. And that's likewise also how we must see the gospel. Just because we say that now we have the pearl of great price, just because we say that we have the field with hidden treasure, doesn't mean that we understand the true value of it. We must understand the true value of the gospel and of the Word of God. And if we do not understand the true value of the gospel and of the Word of God, then it puts a question mark on whether or not we truly have attained it or not. Right? And that is the concerning thing. We must evaluate ourselves. We must search our own hearts to make sure that we have the right response to the understanding of the valuableness of this treasure. And what was their response? And this is where we see the similarity. Both their responses were similar. And first, what was their response in verse 44? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when the man had found, he hideth. And so the first response that we see to the understanding of the value of the treasure is that this man, he found the treasure. What did he do? He hid it again. And of course here, it's not talking about hiding the gospel away from people. And, oh, this is exclusively mine, so I hide it away from people. No, that is not the point. And the point of him hiding it is him securing it. And so in other words, he knows that this field has treasure, and he's going to do the right thing to buy the field, but he secures the field. Right? That's why he hides it back in the field. And the idea of him securing it is so that he will be able to get it. And so it's not hiding it from other people, right? Don't let other people take it. Right? But the idea here is that, right, just as you would hide it, right, from people, right, that is how secure you want it to be, right? Right? This man secured his treasure. He knew in his heart of hearts that this is what I want to have. Right? That is the securing of the treasure. He hid it. He hid it back in the field. And so this also relates to the gospel. When we realize the true value of the gospel, you will make sure that you obtain it. Right? You will not give rest until you get it. Right? You will secure, you will make sure that you will obtain it. And you will not let this opportunity slip away. And that is what you will do if you see the true value of the gospel. You will secure it. You will, in that sense, hide it. You will make sure that this is something that I will get. I will not let this opportunity slip away. Secondly, not only does the person secure it, but the Bible also tells us that this person, in the first parable, when he had hid it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. The second thing that we see, the second response that we see, is the response of joy. Right, that when he found the treasure, when he saw the true value of the treasure, of the field, because of the treasure, he was joyful. He was glad. He was joyful at the discovery of it. And this again relates to the gospel. When you know the true value of the gospel, and you know that you have secured it and you are able to obtain it, it brings great joy. Joy because your sins are now forgiven. Joy because you are delivered from your guilt, because you are delivered from sin, death and hell. Joy because you have a relationship with God, something that you had never had before. Joy. But it only comes if you truly understand the value of the gospel. If you do not regard these things as valuable, you don't care about your relationship with God, you don't care about anything else that we have talked about, you don't care about your sin, you don't care about your guilt, you don't care about judgment, then of course you wouldn't care about the gospel. But there was great joy for this person because he understood the value of the field. But understand that value comes at a cost. Because in this first parable, yes, he saw the value of the field, but he had to cough up the money. Right, the field cannot just be given to him. He had to purchase the field. And what did he do? The Bible tells us that he went, he sold all that he had, and then he bought the field. Right, and also, likewise, with the pearl of great price, the man who found the great pearl, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so here, we see in both instances that when they saw the true value of the treasure, there was no hesitation, there was no deterrent for any of these men, these two men, to obtain the treasure. And you must understand that they sold all that they had, meaning that they really gave up everything. Right? They sold everything that they had so that they could amass enough money to buy the field. Because they saw the field, they saw the pearl of great price as something far more valuable than what they could give to buy it. And that's what people would do, isn't it? The reason why we buy things is because we know that it can bring some value to us. Like whether monetary or otherwise. Right? Why do you eat? Why do you buy food to eat? Right? Because it fills your stomach, right? Or because it is something that you like to eat, right? It brings value in that sense. Why do people make purchases on investments? Right? Because they think that the investment will be more valuable than the money that they put in. Right? That's what people do. And likewise here, when they gave all, they sold everything that they had, in order to buy the field, in order to buy the pearl of great price. They saw the field and the pearl of great price as things far more valuable than their earthly material possessions. And note that this wasn't just an impulse buy. You know, sometimes when you scroll on the on your shopping apps, right, then you impulse buy, right? You feel like, oh, this one I want, there you buy. Then after that, buyer's remorse, right? Yeah, why I go and buy this? Okay, then return, right? So you know that there are sometimes that you will buy things on impulse, right? Maybe these people, oh, they suddenly saw the treasure and they saw the pearl of great price. They never think properly, then they impulse buy. Was it like that? No. But you see how the Bible describes how they bought it. It's very specific. Take note of all the conjunction ends in this. In these two parables. In the first parable, in verse 44, when he had found it, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. And same also in verse 46, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went, and sold all that he had, and bought it. And so each decision was deliberate. Right? It was not an impulse thing. That means they really took stock, they really understood that all these things are worth less, far less than what I'm going to buy. And so I will sell all these things in order to purchase this treasure. And so this also, likewise, relates to the gospel. Because when we understand that the gospel has infinite value, yes, the gospel is freely offered to you, but know that it will cost you everything. What does that mean? I thought the gospel is free. I thought the gospel is a gift. What do you mean it will cost me everything? It will cost you everything in the sense that you will have to die You have to die to self. You have to surrender all. The Bible talks about other parables that God willing will consider, right? How a person who is going to face a king with a greater army, what does he do? He takes stock and he surrenders. And that's exactly what we do when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is not just accepting him into one part of my life. And believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is not just, you know, I say that now I can call myself a Christian. But to believe means that now everything that you have, your entire being, all your possessions, your ambitions, your desires, are all surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a death to self. We are crucified with Christ. That is what it means. That means now, it is no more me that is standing before you. It's no more me with my sinful desires. It's no more me with my opinions and my ambitions. It is now Christ. Right? Because I've died to myself. And that's what the Lord tells us to do. Right? That if we are to follow Christ, we are to deny ourselves. And then to take up our cross and then to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it will cost us. Know that yes, the gospel is free for all, it is available for all, it is on the market. But in order for you to obtain it, you will need to surrender. You will need to yield yourself completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in him, believing in the gospel. And that is exactly what happened in this case. Of course, here we are not saying that you need to go and sell everything and then you go and give to the poor. But in principle, that is what it means. In principle, it means that in principle you have surrendered every part of your life. In principle, you have surrendered all your possessions. In principle, if the Lord wants you to do this with your possessions, he will do it. And that's what it means. That we, when we believe in the gospel, know that your life is no longer your own. Your life belongs to the Lord. But know also that this is not a gloomy life. And this is not a life of, oh, now I'm a slave, right? Because I belong to someone else. But no, this is a life of joy. Because as you have died to self, just as Christ was crucified on the cross and you are crucified with him, and just as he is raised from the dead, you have been given new life. And this life is far more precious, far more valuable than any earthly thing that you have on this earth. Do you believe it? Do you see it? Do you acknowledge that? That the gospel, that your relationship with the Lord is something far more valuable than any earthly thing. Not $1 million, not $1 billion, not anything in this world that is more valuable than that. And if you are able to see that value, know that there are implications, right? Because then can I ever do anything to cause you to sell out the name of Christ? If I were to give you $1 million, $1 billion, for you to deny Christ, will you deny Christ? Of course, easy to say now. But do you realize that it has a direct correlation to how valuable you see the gospel? How valuable you see your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do not see that as valuable, then of course, when something that is more valuable comes along, you'll easily sell that in order to get this more valuable thing to you. But you must see the true value of the gospel. It is the value of the gospel far surpasses anything on this earth. It is eternal. And so, are you willing to pay the cost? To yield yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because in doing so, they obtain the treasure. That is the blessed thing. They were not shortchanged. It was not that, oh, he bought a goodly pearl, but it was fake. No. He really got the pearl of great price. He obtained it. He obtained the treasure. He obtained the treasure in the field. And that is also what we have security, knowing what the Lord has promised us. That when we yield ourselves to the gospel, to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing the true value of the gospel, it is for us to have. But if you have not, what is stopping you? Is it some sin? Why would you allow some sin? Why do you see that sin as more valuable than the gospel? What is the hesitancy? Is it because you are doubting? Is it because of your unbelief? Surrender that unbelief. see in Scripture the value of the gospel? Is it because of your hatred against God? Your desire for the things of this world? And know that what shall it profit a man? He shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul. It is not worth it. And so I pray that you will see the true value of the gospel. There's nothing in this world that is worth substituting this great treasure. But you must make sure that you have it for yourself. Don't just know that, oh, this pearl means the gospel, this treasure hidden in the field means the gospel, and I can explain to you the parables and then that's it. No. Make sure you truly possess these treasures. Make sure you possess the gospel. And when you do possess these treasures, then you will live as a man who has these treasures. You will live very differently. Everything that you do now will be done in light of the gospel. Every decision that you make, every way that you go, every word that you speak, every action that you do will be dictated by the gospel. Of course, yes, we are not perfect. But in principle, have you surrendered your entire life to Him? Or if you were to search your heart right now, you will know that, okay, I will surrender every part of my life but except this part. Well, if you have that in your heart, well, know that you have not yet obtained the treasure. And make sure that you surrender all areas of your life to the Lord in principle, so that when the time comes for you to actually surrender it, you will surrender it. Because there is nothing more valuable than the gospel. Let us pray. Mm-hmm. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in this gospel that we find the forgiveness of our sins. For it is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done that we can be reconciled to Thee. Oh, how undeserving sinners we are, and what a privilege it is for us to taste of this, the infinite value of the gospel. Oh Father, forgive us for the times that we have not seen this value. We have disregarded the value of the gospel, and we have lived in that manner. Oh Father, we pray that Thou forgive us and help us to meditate and think upon the true treasure of the gospel. And if there be any here who have not yet obtained this treasure, we pray that Thy Spirit will work in such a heart, that they will not let this opportunity slip away, but that they will secure in their hearts, knowing that the gospel is the only thing that can save them, and to turn to Thee in full surrender and receive of the gospel. And so, Father, we pray that Thou will help all of us, that we will live as people of the treasure, people who have obtained the gospel, to live in light of it, to honor Thee and to please Thee and to glorify Thee in all that we do every day. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.